Season 1, episode numero 6 of the Double Your Freelancing Podcast. So there's no interview. This is the final episode of the season. And the way we're structuring these is the final episode is not going to have an interview. And you're basically going to be stuck listening to me. Sorry. But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to synthesize everything that we've discussed over the season into a logical step-by-step strategy that you can use to get more clients. I'm also going to be leaning, because we had a lot of, the interviews weren't necessarily start to finish building on one another. They presented a lot of different strategies and tactics that combined turn into something really good. So what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to be heavily leaning on the structure of my newest course, Sell Yourself Online, The Blueprint. And the good thing is all the interviews that I've recorded jive entirely with the framework of this course. But because this course is a system, it's going to be a little easier, I think, to walk through that structure and show you exactly start to finish what you could be doing to, you know, coming up with your overall sales funnel and then starting to implement each part of that, along with relying on the content and the interviews that we've already shared over the span of the season. So if that sounds good, that's what we're going to get into. But before I get into the weeds and get in depth in terms of what you should and can be doing to systematically get clients, once, last and for all, FreshBooks, thank you again for your support of the podcast. Without you, this would not have been possible. FreshBooks, again, this is the first episode you've listened to of the season, they make it super easy for you to manage your consulting business online. Everything from invoicing to time tracking to managing your expenses and generating, you know, reports on how profitable your company is and so on. They make it really super easy to do, and your accountant's going to love it because you'll be able to give them all the info they need to file your taxes correctly without you getting hit by penalties or whatever else. Head over to freshbooks.com/double. That'll show them that you came via our podcast, which is what they're going to want to see. They want to know, did us spending money actually get an ROI? So this is going to be a way of doing that. If you go over to freshbooks.com/double, you'll not only get a 30-day free trial, but you'll also not be required to put in your credit card to get set up. So you can start getting up and running pretty quickly. And again, if you do have luck and you love FreshBooks, just tweet me, Brennan Dunn, BrennanDunn, let me know what you think. And finally, quick thing, doubleyourfreelancing.com/season1, especially important, I think, for this episode, since we get pretty systematic and procedural. But if you go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/season1, you can download the ebook of this entire season. We've commissioned and designed a book just for the season that includes all the takeaways, all the notes, and everything else from season 1 of this podcast, which is all about getting leads. So it's kind of like an ebook basically on how to get leads, which is great. So let's get into the bits and pieces of this episode. So here's what we did. We didn't really talk too much in the season about things like figuring out what it is you're actually selling or how you validate an offer idea or anything like that. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through step by step the framework that you can use to develop the positioning of a service offering, validate it, come up with some early and elementary marketable material for it, and then build up from there and put together a proper sales funnel that, again, will be 100% in line with the stuff that we've talked about over the last 5 episodes. So let me walk you through that real quick. And again, this is all from Sell Yourself Online, The Blueprint. So if you've already gone through that course, there might not be a lot of new stuff here, although I think synthesizing a lot of what's in that course with what you've heard over this season might be helpful. But if you haven't joined that course, then hopefully this outline will be pretty helpful. Okay, so here's what I want you to start thinking about. So you want to have a systematic sales funnel. And what that means is you need to have something, you know, if you if you're not familiar with kind of like the marketing speak of what a sales funnel is, here's the concept in a nutshell. So think of it like a proper funnel, like something you would put, we use funnels for like flour or whatever, right? In cooking. On the one end, you have a very big opening. And the idea is a lot of things go into that. And then at the other end, you have a small outlet. And only if you, in our case, clients, pop out the end of that. So the idea is, unlike a real funnel, which generally doesn't leak, you know, you might have, for instance, think about it this way. You might have 100 people who reach out to you. Maybe they you know, heard about you somewhere or something like that. And then maybe 30 of them get proposals or get to the point where you end up, or let's make it a little more detailed. 100 people reach out, 50 of them end up getting on some sort of consultation call or something that you offer. Maybe you disqualify a bunch of them, or they realize maybe you're too expensive or something like that. And then maybe only 20 of them survive to get a proposal. And then of the 20 people you send a proposal to, maybe five end up buying. You know, from the perspective of a funnel, you have 100 people enter and five exit that funnel. And that's pretty much all we're talking about with the sales funnel, is that it's the same thing. You have people on one end who are, we'll call them prospects, and then you have clients who come out the other end. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to walk through the design, the setup, the creation of one of these funnels, starting from the idea around, well, what are we actually, you know, what's the point? What's the end goal of the funnel? And for a lot of us who are generalists, who do, you know, advertise ourselves as a freelance web developer or freelance designer or, you know, marketing agency or something like that, the end goal is typically some sort of technical thing that we do, right? So a lot of us, you know, that's kind of our, and I think it reflects, especially in the way we design our websites and everything like that. It's very focused pretty technically, right, on what we do. We also tend to position ourselves transactionally. So, you know, when we do issue a proposal, say I'm a freelance designer, if I issue a proposal to a client, a really good proposal is going to take the need that that client has, right? The problem that they have that design can hopefully fix. And I take that problem and I take my talent, namely design, and I find a way to merge the two, and that's the proposal. The proposal is effectively a one-off positioned statement of work / offer that describes, here's how I'm going to help solve problem A through, you know, design. So knowing this, what we want to do is we want to find a way to front load a lot of that same stuff that happens in developing a proposal into something more automated, into something more systematic and scalable than one-off proposals. So what I would encourage you to do first is to think about the positioning of this funnel. I'm not saying the positioning of your business necessarily. This is where I differ from some people in that I don't think positioning needs to necessarily be at the business level. It's at the offer level. And the offer has before it the funnel that leads to the offer. So think about what, you know, think of one funnel that you could design. And this doesn't mean you need to give up your generalist way of thinking about yourself. It's just going to be one start to finish conveyor belt, if you will, that is going to leave somebody to working with you. But it's going to be from day one, it's going to be more attractive to people who have a shared or a more global, I would say, problem that you can help solve. So I would ask you to, you know, in terms of positioning, what kind of projects have you worked on? What projects did you enjoy working on in the past? Why have people hired you historically? What led them to spend lots of money on you? And what was worth more than what they spent? So try to, in a way, psychoanalyze the past, you know, your history as a consultant, and try to figure out really what are some examples of why people have hired me. And then I'd also ask you to think about what your unfair advantage might be. So what technically do you do really well? So maybe that's web design. And what unfair advantage do you have in the web design world? Maybe you have a lot of experience working with real estate companies, right? So that, you know, those two things, again, all we're doing at this point is we're just thinking. We're thinking through What unfair advantages do I have? And what work history do I have? And what we're going to want to do is we're going to want to come up with ultimately a positioning statement. Now, this is something internal to us. This is not going to be the headline of, your website or something like that. This is more of an anchor, if you will. It's going to anchor the entire funnel. It's going to anchor everything that goes into this funnel. So what I would do is, and there's a lot of different thoughts on positioning and positioning statements and so on, but I think it should be fairly simple. Who, what, and why? So who's the audience or the persona that you could help? What is the problem that many of them have? And why? What makes you uniquely capable and safely capable of solving that problem? And that's positioning in a nutshell. I'm not going to go too deep into this. We've actually talked in earlier episodes on this podcast a bit more in depth on positioning. And on doubleyourfreelancing.com, there's a lot of material on positioning that you can read up on. But that's where we start. We start with thinking about the who, the what, and the why. And this is, again, the whole goal of this is to really anchor what it is we're doing or what it is we're going to be building, namely this funnel, with something that won't let us go out of bounds. Because we don't want to start, it can be really easy to start getting out of scope, if you will, which causes us to deviate from this core focus of who, what, why. And again, this is one funnel. We're not talking about saying I'm only going to work with real estate agents who want to get more referrals, and I'm uniquely capable of doing this because I've done this a few times for other real estate agents and they've on average had, exponential results or something like that. We're not saying to basically transform your entire business necessarily into this, but what I would encourage you to do is think this is going to be one channel, right? The funnel is one channel that leads people to working with you. And think about that. Think about it from that perspective. Okay, so once you've done that, and again, I'm kind of rushing through this. I'm not expecting you to be doing this while you listen. I'm just trying to give you kind of an overview of what I think this ideal structure looks like. Once you do that, what I like to do then is I like to come up with what I call an internal manifesto. So if the statement is like a two-sentence thing, the internal manifesto is something much more in depth, if you will, that better describes and expands on the statement. So who exactly do you serve? How do they describe themselves? What kind of language do they use? Where are they generally found? And, all that kind of stuff, like go more into depth about the who and then the what, what do they need? What are the implications if this problem goes unsolved? What's the real business risk for having this kind of fester, this problem not go away? And then, like, why is this so important? Why? What is the upside? What is that potential for them? Remove this problem, heal the wound. What then happens? What impact does this then have? And this is one of these things that I like to. So what I like to do here is, and this is something I used to teach in the academy and also that I'm teaching now in the blueprint, is this is where you're not going to have a lot of this data. You should not be speculating on any of this. This should be, it's like, my friend Joanna Weeb of Copy Hackers, I was seeing a talk of hers at a conference a few months back, and she was talking about copywriting, and she was saying that the best copy is curated, not created. So what we want to do here is we want to curate what we're going to be hearing from people who actually identify with the audience that we're targeting, with the audience in this positioning statement. So again, I'm not going to get too detailed about exactly how to do this kind of outreach stuff, but ultimately at the end of the day, what you want to do is you want to talk, converse with people who fit this profile that you're targeting. And you want to listen to what they have to say and take notes or record calls, dig deep into, what it is, what kind of expanding on the hypothesis that you have that you first codified in your positioning statement, expanding upon that, really getting in their own words, how they describe the problem in their own words, why they want these problems typically solved, in their own words, how they describe the kind of business they run and what's at stake and so on. And what you want to do here is you want to use this manifesto as kind of like a living document where every conversation, it gets better. It gets more more refined. And the way to do that is going to be to not just go in and live edit a document like this, but to have an actual procedure for capturing data and finally normalizing this data into bite-sized chunks that you can then curate into an internal manifesto that's made up of the actual language, the actual problems, the actual pains that these people have. So if you think about the positioning statement originally is more outward, it's, you know, this is what I think, looking at my own backstory, I can help with, and here it is. The manifesto is an expansion of that that is now including actual, if you will, production data, right? Language, keywords, and so on that people are using to expand upon that. And once you have that, now what you're able to do is, you know, you can start to come up, and again, this is internal still, it's an internal manifesto. Now it's time to come up with what I'm calling a marketable document. And this is just really a sales letter. If you think about it, it's a bit like a proposal for somebody who didn't really ask for a proposal, but it's taking that internal manifesto and making it something that you can then share with people. We don't have a funnel yet. We don't have any automation. We don't have a web page or anything like that set up. At this point, this could be a Google Doc that expands upon the results of these conversations that you've had with people who demographically or firmographically fit the profile of the kind of companies you want to work with. So this is where we want to really heavily normalize a lot of the data we've come up with to make this marketable. So what is the worldview that we've started to really identify in these conversations? What beliefs and values do they have? What goals and desires do they have? What is the monetizable pain that we can capitalize upon? What common objections do a lot of these people have? What fears or anxieties keep them up at night? What are they fighting against? What is the thing that they're, you know, if they're a superhero, what is their arch enemy? And, you know, what really gets them? What insults them? And what are the common patterns that keep coming up about how they describe themselves, how they describe their needs, and so on? And what we want to do is we want to reduce all this and expand that internal manifesto into something marketable. So, you know, this is where we get more sales lettery, if you will, where, you know, we're starting off with identifying the problem and then we're presenting that solution and then we're creating that offer. And again, the offer, what's interesting about this is I think a lot of us try to think of, like, say we're looking at building a product or service. We start to kind of go in a vacuum and start thinking, well, what can we offer? What product or service can we offer? What will it look like? How will it be structured and so on? And the goal here is to let the offer be derived from these conversations. So, you know, ultimately this offer needs to include in it, baked into it, you know, why should somebody hire you? How have you helped other companies? Why do businesses generally need your help? And so on. And really focusing on that pain, problem, offer, the objections that people have, the social proof that people need to see that they too can solve this problem like others have. And then that uniqueness again. So why are you the most capable vendor for solving this problem? So what you want to do is you want to build something that's more marketable and then cycle back to everyone you've talked with and said, hey, I want to, you know, thanks again for that conversation we had, you know, 2 weeks ago. I've really been thinking about what it is you said, and I had a few other conversations. I'm putting together this new service that I think is going to benefit companies like yours. I'd love to, you know, I incorporate a lot of what we talked about in our conversation. I'd love to get your feedback on kind of this version one that of this thing that I've come up with, right? So you're kind of, in a way, creating a very minimum viable product for an offer. Again, you haven't set up any automation or funnels or anything like that yet. You've just created a document that you're getting in front of people who fit the profile of somebody who could benefit from this offer. And you're doing that manually. And really, it's just cycling back to people who've already been instrumental in helping you define this. So sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes it actually leads to that first sale at using this new offer, which is great. But the goal here is really just to get confirmation, to get validation from people who actually are the right profile, the kind of people that we want validation from, and so on. So what you've done now is you've basically created this marketable document. And the next step from here is to turn this into a service offering. So what is a service offering? It's going to be the end of the funnel. It's going to be the thing that you spit people out on and they either buy or don't buy from this. So the goal here is that it's shareable. It's something on your, you know, it's a page on your website. It's not just a Google Doc that you can share with people or something like that. And it's also for when somebody's already fully problem aware. And this is the big thing. A lot of us think when, you know, say we're putting together a services page or a service offering page or something like that, we really focus on the education side, really showing somebody, here's why you need this. Here's why this is so important to you and so on. What I'm going to get you to try to think, though, is that you should not have this be, it's really hard to educate and sell somebody simultaneously. So what we want to do here instead is we want to have this service offering page really drive home the offer to somebody who's already problem aware. So that they might not be product aware. They don't yet know that you have a service that might help them, but they're already problem aware of the problem that the service you have solves. So what you want to do here is you want to build basically a landing page, a sales page that reiterates the problem, provides that solution, and makes it clear that the solution is within reach. And you want to have a strong call to action here. And this, I'd encourage you at first to have it be some sort of like book a consultation or apply, you know, which is something Kev talked about. So some sort of application process. I've seen people successfully, I wouldn't encourage it early on, but to go straight to a buy now road mapping offer. But that requires a lot of established trust for that to be really effective at this point. And what you want to do here is you want to set this up because this is going to be what everything aims for. So if the job of this page is to get people to book a consultation, the job of, say, the freebie offering, which is next, that gets people to this page is to prepare somebody to read this page. So every step of your funnel, its job is to prepare somebody for the next step of the funnel. So if you think about it, a opt-in page for an email course, the job of that is to prepare somebody to be eager to take an email course or to join an email course. So somebody then joins your email course, then the job of the email course is to then prepare them to be ready to buy the premium thing, the service offering that the email course is ultimately going to be pointing to. So here's where we get now into some of the past discussions we've had on this podcast so far. So the next, now that we have a service offering page, and again, I don't expect you to, like, this isn't an end all. It's just really a framework that I'd encourage you to start thinking about and what this means for you and so on. But the next step is to start to basically create a freebie offering. So a freebie offering is basically it's a product you're selling in exchange for an email address and time, right? So if you think back to the interview with Kev about webinars, he is selling a free webinar. Or Josh, he is selling his email template worksheets and so on that are free, but he's selling them in exchange for a relationship or contact information and obviously time and attention. But this is important because what you want to do at this point, now that you have a service offering, and again, like I talked about, the whole job of every stage of the funnel is to prepare somebody for the next stage. We want to find something marketable that's appealing in its own right, that's valuable in its own right, that will make somebody problem aware of the service offering or of what the offer that the service offering postulates, right? So what is this freebie offering? Well, it's that intentional thing that prepares somebody to be a customer. And I would, again, encourage you to look back or listen back on Kev and Josh's interviews with me, because there's a lot of different models for this. You could do webinars or workshops. I did a lot of offline seminars in building my agency. That was my freebie offering. We got a lot of people, you know, in our case, coming into our office, listening to an hour-long presentation, and that being the beginning of a relationship that became very intentional post-seminar. So webinars and workshops, email or video courses, some sort of asset, a worksheet, an assessment, a quiz. You know, there's a lot of different models that can be used for this. But really what you want to do here is you want to equip them with the know-how, the information to solve the problem at hand. Again, this goes back to the positioning statement. What is the problem that they have? Well, we want to teach them how to solve it. And we want to basically give them an overview of conceptually what they would do to solve it, or even equip them directly with the know-how to solve it. And this might seem counterintuitive, right? It might seem like, well, if the whole, like, let's say you help people, real estate agents get more referrals or something like that. Well, doesn't it seem a little backwards to teach them how to get more referrals when that's what you do? What I would encourage you, though, to think about that is that the people you want as clients are the ones who are not do-it-yourselfers. Those are bad clients. The good clients are the ones who say, I recognize Brennan is an expert and an authority in doing this. He's shown this to me, and I'm going to trust him to solve my referral problem. And ultimately, the freebie offering, you know, I've already mentioned that the job is to prepare somebody, right? But really, the call to action, if you will. So every part of the funnel has not only the job or the requirement to prepare somebody for that next stage of the funnel, but there's also that call to action that gets people to move to the next stage of the funnel. So the call to action really for the freebie offering needs to be presenting the shortcut versus the long road. So once you've overviewed the problem, and you've made them problem aware, and you've given them ideas on how to fix that problem, you basically give them two options. One of which is, great, you know what to do, have at it, experiment. You might mess up a bunch, oops, but you know, enjoy, right? Take what I've taught and go with it. Or the shortcut, which is, I can help you fix this problem. I can help you solve the problem that you're now fluent in. And here's how I can do that. And that's how we then bridge them over to the service offering. So hopefully this is starting to make sense, right? Like what we've done is we've started at the end, which is, well, we started really conceptually with what are we getting people towards and how are we anchoring every stage of this funnel. And then we build the end of the funnel, which is the service offering. Then we work backwards to the freebie offering, which is meant to get people to the service offering. And now we're going to go one step further back and get people in front of the freebie offering. And that's where the episodes with Matt and Benji, that's where they come in. Because if you remember, Matt talked about podcasting. He talked about hosting podcasts or being a guest on podcasts. The thing you want to do is you want to make it so if you're, say you go on a podcast or you write a guest post or you're writing your own content on your own site, like a blog post, you don't want it to be that the content is the end. You want to give somebody, again, that the call to action, right? Remember, internalize, prepare them for the next stage, call to action to get them to the next stage. So if you're creating a blog post for your site, the job there is to prepare somebody for the next stage, meaning to get them to trust your ability to give them value. That's it. So I read an in-depth 5,000 word blog post from you. I start thinking, this person really knows what they're talking about. And then you present me with a call to action, which is a lead magnet, a freebie offering, that the job of it is to get me further down the funnel. So if you enjoyed this and you want to go deeper into what I talked about here, you know, I have an email course for you or something like that. Super, super effective. That's my whole strategy on WR freelancing. It's my entire model is to have free content that people get in front of through multiple channels, referrals, SEO, and so on. In-depth articles that establish my ability to help. And if somebody feels that I've helped them, that's where people then decide to opt into the freebie offering that I offer. So we're basically helping you design that whole thing. So what we want to start doing is we want to start thinking, well, how can I promote my freebie offering, my product that is not, doesn't cost money. It costs time and a relationship or the start of a relationship. How do I promote that instead of go check out my services or go to my homepage? Oh, and if you want to, you know, go from beyond just an anonymous visitor, it's going to cost you, you know, 10 grand to hire me. Like, how can you bridge that gap a little better? So the ideal, I think, is to look at the freebie offering as the thing that you want to promote when you do promotion, when you do marketing and so on. So you do a guest post. This guest post could be basically a high-level summation of your freebie offering with a call to action of, if you want to go more in depth, I have this email course. Or if you want to go more in depth, I have this recorded webinar free training. If you want to go more in depth, I have this assessment that will help you apply a lot of what I've talked about here. And you link that. That's the thing you get people to do. That's the call to action of the guest post you do versus the go check out my like freelancing site at brennandunn.com or something like that. Or if you're, same thing, if you're going on a podcast, same deal. When I go on podcasts, I often say I go to talk about pricing. My ending is almost always, if you want to dive deeper into a lot of what we talked about here, go to freepricingcourse.com. And it's a 9-lesson email course that just amplifies everything we just talked about in the last 30 minutes. Super, super effective. Say you're going to a conference or you're giving a talk at a conference or maybe a local event or something. Same thing. Cold Facebook traffic. Say you're running ads. Same deal. Look at what Kev's doing with webinars. That's the model. That's going from no relationship, very minimal trust, to pay me lots of money is a very risky, very dangerous, very low converting funnel. But the alternative, which is no relationship, very low trust, to, hey, I know you don't really trust me. Hopefully you just learned something potentially of value from me. I want to give you something even more valuable, but it is going to cost you. It's going to cost you an email address. That is, people are much more willing to give that up than booking a thing on your calendar or filling out an application form or something like that and making that be like the first point of entry for you and your business. All right, so the majority of people though who move through this funnel, so we talked about having some sort of free content out there that gets people into your freebie offering and then over to your service offering, 98%+ of people are not gonna act on that service offering. So there needs to be some sort of long-term nurturing, right? I call this nudging the 98%. So what do? We find a way to keep, you know, yourself top of mind to, or your business, I should say, top of mind to these people by overwhelming them with really great content until they either sufficiently trust you or they're at a point where they're, you know, fiscally or whatever else prepared to work with you. So what could you do? You could do things like, let's say you deliver a really great project to a client and you want to, you write an in-depth case study about, you know, the problem that they had, how you went about solving it. Maybe if you have any data, what kind of results have they had so far? You make that an article, you email it out to everyone who has gone through your funnel. And I probably do it to everyone, but it could just be people who haven't bought or who haven't, you know, booked a consultation yet. And this is going to get you front of mind, but it's also going to show them, hey, this company that Brennan just profiled is a lot like me. Oh, okay. I see. You know, I'm starting to see how getting more referrals from real estate is actually within reach for myself. Maybe I'm actually going to go and book that consultation with Brennan. That's what you want. And you want it to be that, you know, each new case study, each new article you produce, maybe you've gone to a conference, you learned a bunch of stuff about the future of real estate marketing. You write like basically one article that sums up and analyzes each talk you heard. That's a bunch of new content you've got. Not only is that going to be good for nudging that 98% who have not bought yet, but those are now all entry points into your funnel. All these articles you produced have some sort of call to action for your lead magnet, your freebie offering, right? And it also reinforces the people who are already in your audience who have not purchased yet. And this is nice because, you know, it's a little demoralizing to write a really good article, publish it to your blog and think, is anyone reading this? But by doing it this way, you have new content, you send it to the people already on your list, which is further nudges and nurtures them. But then it also allows you to have that as a new entry point into your funnel. So a lot of things you can do. Again, we didn't talk too much about nurturing in this podcast, but you know, this is, I've seen a lot of agencies that have newsletters and they're all kind of lame, to be honest. A lot of them are just, hey, it's the end of the year. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Here's what we've done this year. Here's some pictures of our smiling team members or something like that. If you can find a way to consistently provide more value at scale and use this content, this is what's really, really key here, is let's say you send out a really good thing about the future of real estate that you learned from a keynote talk or something. And it's your thoughts, your opinions. You email this out. So you have 500 people now on your list. You email it out and the call to action is, hey, reply and tell me a bit about what you thought of this talk write-up and kind of what you're thinking. And does this in any way affect what your strategy is? It's a great way to automate and do it at scale conversations. They could reply and say, hey, Brendan, great write-up. Yeah, I really got a lot of value out of what you said, blah, 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 blah. And then I respond to that saying, oh, tell me more. So, you know, blah, 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 blah. So what do you plan on doing with this? And one thing leads to another. Maybe now I'm on a sales call with them and now they're a client. So this is a really great way to kind of just at scale build up future sales conversations. All right. So next up, supporting content, right? So what about the rest of your site? So we've talked about building a funnel, and a funnel doesn't necessarily have anything to do with your about page or your homepage or anything like that. Because I think a lot of us, when we think about our online presence, we focus a lot on the structure of our marketing site, but really, like, really great funnels don't even need to ever hit a homepage or a services page or an about page, but they're all important, especially since we're in a high touch selling environment where we, you know, there needs to be a degree of established trust. We're not just offering them an add to cart button. We're, there's a lot of back and forth, whether emails or phone calls or whatever else. So it does make sense to think about the supporting content. So what is the goal of your homepage? How do you manage multiple service offerings? When you, do you have a single services page? Do you have maybe subsections of your site? What about the, you know, what do you put on your about page? How do you write it and so on? And again, I'm not going to go too in depth into structurally like what you should have on your site. I just want you to think about what is the job of each and in every page on your website. That's key. Do people come to your homepage organically, or are they coming there because they were referred to you? Or is it somebody you've probably already met in person? Now they're doing their due diligence and looking you up on your homepage. So these are the questions you need to ask yourself. Because if you're like Matt Alpinsky, who's getting a lot of SEO traffic or search traffic, I should say, from local people, well, the structure, the supporting content on his website needs to be designed a little differently than somebody who might not be doing that, right? So, you know, if a lot of people are coming directly to his homepage, which I believe they are, from Google, well, these aren't people who know him yet. They've probably never heard of Matt. So his strategy needs to be a little different. And that's why it's so important to think, what is the job of this? What is the job of this page, the about page? What is its purpose? Does it need to be there? And if so, what's its role, right? And that's the kind of stuff you want to be thinking about as you go ahead and structure out kind of that supporting content that surrounds your sales funnel or funnels, I should say. And then finally, I know we've gone on long, but hopefully this has been helpful. But finally, it's the what I call the view from 10,000 feet, which is, you know, what are we doing? We're basically promoting free content. We're promoting it on our site, on other people's sites, on podcasts, in front of other people's audiences. So, you know, joint webinars, in-person seminars in front of a chamber of commerce, whatever the model, in people's news feeds or as banner ads on Google Display Network or whatever else, or we're just responding to people who are Googling around for how do I get more real estate referrals. So we promote free content in some way. The free content then sells people on the freebie offering. It prepares somebody for that freebie offering. So the lead magnet, the goal, the call to action of the free content is to then get somebody onto the freebie offering. The freebie offering then points to the service offering. So, you know, the service offering is targeting people who are already problem aware and they probably trust you somewhat. Otherwise, they would have unsubscribed a while ago. We reiterate the problem. We highlight the solution. We make a case for helping bridge the gap between problem and solution. And then we ask them to book a consultation meeting, complete an application, or even pay for road mapping. And then for the 98% who don't do anything, they don't buy that service offering, long-term nurturing. We continue to create content that can serve as feeder sources into our freebie offerings. We email new content to our list. We focus on actionability. We encourage people to reply to generate sales discussions automatically. And then just we try to keep ourselves front and center, top of mind. We want people to be, because a lot of the success I had as an agency owner was keeping ourselves top of mind and letting random happenstance drive a lot of inbound project requests. So people, you know, would be continuing to receive a lot of valuable good stuff from us. And then there'd be some sort of serendipitous event. And they would then, you know, be like, oh, you know, I actually know somebody who might be able to help with that. And I call that increasing our luck surface area, because we can't really control that, but we can control the surface area that we have for this good luck coming our way, right? And then finally, the thing we haven't talked about this much, but valuing the funnel, putting a dollar or pound or whatever figure on your funnel, that to me is when things get the most interesting. And in the next season, we're actually going to talk a little bit more about some valuation stuff. But I want you to think about things like, you know, what is the value of somebody who books a consultation with you? So let's say you have a service offering page and then that goes to a consult call. Maybe 10% of people who buy or who book a consultation become a client. Well, what is the value? What's the average value of a client for you? Right? So maybe you make about $10,000 per project. Well, that means a consultation is worth to you $1,000, right? 10 divided by 10,000. Well, let's work backwards. How many people who visit the service offering page book a consultation? Well, maybe 10%. Right, let's go higher. Let's be more optimistic. 20% of people who view your service offering page, who are prepared, who have gone through your funnel, then book a consultation. So a consultation is worth $1,000. If 20% end up doing that, that means a unique visitor to your service offering page is $200, right? Well, let's work backwards again. So how many people need to join your, say, email course or your webinar or whatever else? How many people need to join in order to get to your service offering page? So if it takes, if the people who join your email course, let's say, 10% of them end up viewing your service offering page. Well, again, what does that mean? That means an opt-in, somebody who joins your freebie offering, is worth $20. So $200 for a page view, a unique page view, divided by 10, $20. Now, how many people does it take to, given that they are on your landing page for your freebie offering, how many of them opt in? Well, let's say you're driving paid traffic and you're finding 50% of people who hit that landing page end up opting in, which is about average. Well, what does that mean? That means a visitor, a unique person showing up on that landing page, that opt-in page for your freebie offering, is worth $10. And again, we're just looking at a paid funnel, paid conversion funnel. It might be different if you're doing a blog post with a call to action at the bottom. You might only get about 5% of people reading that blog post who opt in. But then again, you're probably not paying for that traffic like you would for paid traffic to a landing page. Okay, so paid traffic to a landing page, $10 a visitor. Well, if you're spending $2 per click, what's that tell you? You're spending $2 and you're getting 10 back, right? That's when paid advertising starts to really click, when you know your numbers, when you know the value of your funnel. And you might not think as a freelancer or whatever else that none of this actually needs to be done, but it's one of these things that if you can say, this is the value of my funnel start to finish right now, and then you can go and say, well, what can I do to get more people who see my service offering page to book a consult? What if instead of 20%, it's 30%? Well, now if you do that, if you can get it from 20 to 30%, your freebie offering subscriber value is now 30 instead of 20. And that means that the, you know, half of the people viewing that page, the opt-in page for the freebie offering, are opting in still, they're now $15 instead of 10. Now you can spend up to 15 instead of spending up to 10 to get people into that, right? So it's one of these really fun things that when you start to really break down these numbers and think about how I can amplify every stage of this funnel, that's the part where things get really nice. Because again, long term, all you want to be doing is finding out, how do I get more people into this funnel, the sales funnel? How do I produce more guest posts? How do I go on more podcasts? How do I produce more content? Maybe you're like Josh, you're getting 3,000 people a day. Well, let's say 5% of them opt in. What does that mean? So you're getting 150 people a day. And again, this is a bit extreme. You probably won't get that high, but let's say you get 300. That's 15 people a day who are entering this freebie offering. You could be doing your client work, billing clients, doing whatever it is you do. And what ends up happening? You get consultation calls booked automatically at the end of it. That's why I think having something like this is so important. So again, a lot of what I just talked about comes out of it's basically the outline of Sell Yourself Online Blueprint. If you want to get that, if you want to check it out, head over to doubleyourfreelancing.com. Just click on the products link and you can find it. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to reference that, because I think that's a good begin to end kind of sequence for you to follow, right? I don't think it is, I know it is. And what I wanted to point out is just how complementary a lot of the really good tactical stuff that was shared over the season is for fitting into a sequence like that. So whatever you end up doing as a result of the season, all I ask is one thing. That is, if you just spent, you know, 6 episodes, say on average they're 30 minutes long, you just spent 3 hours potentially listening to me and potentially someone else. Do something with that. Get a ROI on that time. And the best thing you can do is, you know, go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/season1, get the book that details all of this, print it out, stick it next to your computer, and make the time to actually do something rather than just thinking, oh, this was interesting, and yeah, the webinars, that sounds cool, or yeah, you know, this SEO stuff Matt was talking about, interesting. Don't do that. Think, I'm gonna, based on my business, based on my unique constraints and my unique needs, I'm gonna try this out. Here's how I'm gonna test it. Here's how I'm gonna verify that it's working. And then I'm gonna build off that over time. So thank you again. It's been season 1 of the Double Your Freelancing Podcast, and we'll be back in a few more weeks for season 2, which is all about automation.